So the Versus thing.
Okay.
I don't know how much of this story you're already aware of.
Zero.
Do you watch Versus battles?
I've checked out a few, but not no. I would say no would be the answer. Right. Yeah.
And I don't make it a habit, but you know, if there's an interesting one, I may feel compelled to catch up.
I always wish I had watched one, but I have not really tuned in yet.
Why do you say that?
I mean, it seems cool. Like everybody's getting a lot of joy out of it and it seems like a lot of fun. And then I don't know. I always end up missing them or at the time they're happening, I'm like, eh, I'm good. And then after I'm like, I should have watched it. You know, I'm always doing that. I'm weird.
It's a real communal moment, right? Like they were kind of created in that spirit. And so,
right.
You know, and at least part of that spirit, which I guess is kind of my point of contention, but, or some people's point of contention, but yeah, it's a cool thing. Like, you know, when you're in it, you know, and like, to me, just watching it and then like watching, you know, a billion messages fly by on Instagram is not the way to experience it. Right. Like you need two social platforms to experience a Versus battle that you like. Right. So you're watching it on Instagram, but then you're like following the commentary on Twitter.
Gotcha.
You know, where you have space to process it and all that shit.
Makes sense.
So it's genuinely communal as an experience goes, right? And to this point, it's been a Black facing communal experience, right?
Right.
Like, you know, it's our artists, it's our catalog, it's our history, and it's, you know, largely in front of our community.
Right.
Obviously, other people are watching those, but they're just kind of along for the ride, really.
Right.
So anyhow, long story short, Swiss Beatz and Timbaland, who founded it, have recently sold it off to a company named Triller, which is not Black owned. And so...
Wait, named what?
Triller. So it's Thriller without the H, right? Triller.
Okay, not Black owned. Okay.
Not Black owned, right? My understanding is that it's white owned, but I also hear there's like an Asian dude involved. They basically sold like a controlling interest, so they still have some stock in it, right?
Yeah.
It's not like they sold it and then went on vacation.
Okay.
They're still going to be part of the process of determining acts and that kind of thing, and they have given stocks to the artists who have participated to date.
Oh, that's cool.
Right. So I don't know that like Gladys Knight or Patti LaBelle is going to be at a board meeting, but they will get a check here and there. Right.
Okay.
Which is, you know, a really cool thing to do for the people who basically helped you establish the brand that you just sold. Yeah. That's certainly you like a different kind of move. Right.
That makes sense. Yeah. It's
right. It's not like
that's not pure capitalism.
Exactly. I was just going to say like, you know, the Black capital is generally just flips houses on stuff like that, like Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Right. Jay-Z just flips houses and move on to the next crib. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Says you're welcome.
Right.
Yeah.
After, you know, talking about is for the culture. Usually when somebody starts talking about a brand is for the culture or they're doing it for the culture, they just kind of injecting it with us so that it, you know, when they sell it later, they're like, well, it already has this built-in value.
Yeah.
Here's your Black swimming pool. Now go do what you want with it. You know?
Yeah.
And that deal is still largely, it's still kind of like that here. It's not completely not that deal, right?
Right.
It's great that 40 plus, you know, Black already rich musicians, you know, are going to be getting some checks. That's nice. That's certainly a more equitable industry than the one they've been dealing with all their lives.
Right.
So it's cool that, you know, Swiss and Tim kind of built that in to the deal. But there are people, many people, mostly Black people, who are concerned. Let's just say they're concerned.
Okay.
And they break down into several camps, one of which is like, oh, okay, so now our experience is going to suck moving forward because it's going to be, you know, corporatized, which it technically already was. But then there's a segment who are like, well, now they're going to start using white axe. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I'm not convinced that if they did this for another year that you weren't going to see white axe. And then there's a segment who's like, why can't we hold on to anything? Right? Why can't Black people who create things and own these things, why can't we hold on to it and just keep that with us?
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a wholly bad argument, right? Like, it's not 100% real, but it's not a horrible argument.
All three of those reactions are sort of my knee-jerk reactions after you tell me these things. So,
yeah.
So I get it.
Yeah, and it's like, so, like, a statement like that assumes certain things about Versus and things like Versus, which is that because somebody's, you know, Black owns it, that it belongs to us, right? And it doesn't, well, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Timbaland worked with Justin Timberlake, so you already got to throw that out the window.
Right, right.
Yeah. I'll never forgive him for that, by the way. I don't care what anybody says.
But, you know, the part of the deal that catches my eye is the Swiss beat part, right? Like, to me, Timbaland is just a typical rich Black musician, celebrity type person, right?
Yeah.
Like, he had enough wherewithal to be in the right place at the right time here. But Swiss Beats is on another level when it comes to kind of dealing with industries and markets and doing things that are not typical.
Okay.
So, for instance, you know, Swiss Beats is enormously invested in art. I don't know if you know this.
I don't know hardly anything about it. So,
okay. So, like, if you had to say Swiss Beats is a rich and amazing, maybe iconic producer of music, the second thing you would know him for is being married to Alicia Keys. And the third thing you would know him for is having an enormously expensive art collection, but okay, not just owning art, right? He is invested in creating like a Black phase of the modern art movement.
Ah, okay.
So he goes out and he spends multi-millions of dollars on a Black piece of work, thus infusing that work and that body of work with value, not just for that artist, but for other Black artists.
Okay.
And he does that like over many pieces of art, and he convinces other Black capitalists to do the same. So, for instance, there's a story where Diddy was going to buy this piece and Swiss rolled up on him like, no, they're not selling you the original. Don't buy that. Buy this. And so he goes around and he kind of hips cats like, yo, these are investments, but they're also things that when you invest in them at our level, generate a cultural thing that we can use to help our people, right?
I get it. Okay.
So he's invested at that level, right? He's like putting on exhibits of Black artists and, you know, funding things. He's like, that's his thing, right?
Okay.
Now, he doesn't exclusively buy Black art, right? He has to buy white art that has, you know, enormous value to bring up the value of his entire collection.
Yes.
Right. So he'll buy a, you know, he'll buy a Picasso, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or whatever. As part of the mission of building what he names the Barnes Collection, this Barnes Collection that can compete with other world-class collections.
Hmm.
And again, while that's obviously a personal investment, there's other angles to this that did branch out.
Yeah.
And so to me, this is why I couldn't write off the Versus sale just like, like the title sale. Right.
Okay.
When Jay-Z flipped title, I was like, well, there it is. Boom, boom, boom. You know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jay-Z not about that life. You know what I'm saying? Jay-Z is about Jay-Z.
Yeah.
While Swiss has not come out and said this, I think his track record suggests that he might be the only cat out here who's actually playing chess versus checkers. Right?
Yeah.
Maybe. He hasn't gone on record, so I can't just give it to him yet. But I feel like it's possible that that's where he's going. Because here's what his involvement may put on the table, okay? The question is selling versus which you like the way that you like it, so on and so forth, which is about us, but not ours, ultimately.
Yeah.
Do you give up versus so that, let's say, in 8 years, you have a world-class Black museum? Yeah. Was it worth it?
Yeah, I hear what you're getting at.
You know, because I think that's where he's headed.
So basically, with what with his track record, he's earned at least the
benefit of the doubt.
He's earned a space where we should give him the benefit of the doubt and wait and see.
I think so. Yeah. And I understand why most people don't want to do that, because they're not even aware that this is what he does.
Yeah.
But and I'm not suggesting he's Nipsey Hussle. Okay, let's be clear about that.
Right.
I'm not even suggesting he's Ice Cube.
Right.
Right? That's not what this sale is yet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I get it. But I think that where Swiss is concerned, there's room for possibility here, you know?
Oh, yeah, I get what you're saying.
And, I, you know, look, and I'm sorry. If you tell me that Versus, while it will still exist and still be for free, you know, becomes slightly something else, I think I'm okay with that if that means he opens up the kind of museum like that the owner of Walmart opened up. Like, she opened up a world-class museum of modern art, and it's amazing, and it's free, and it's, I mean, and it's, it really is like, every time you build something like that with a collection like that, you are changing the canon of art.
Right.
And I think that he's saying, look, Black galleries exist, you know, Black art exists, but we are not being treated at the same level as world-class culture, and we deserve to be, and I think I can make it happen. He's not on record as saying that. Not exactly. He's saying things like that.
Yeah.
But he's not on record for saying, I'm going to open a museum one day that I'm aware of. But I believe that that's where this is all headed.
So then for him, you're flipping this sort of community thing for this bigger community thing. Which is
for a historic thing.
Yeah, which is a different kind of flip, right? Like that's a
it's an investment.
That's totally a permissible flip.
Yeah, it's an investment. I mean, it all depends on how you come down on art, of course, right? Like if you are poor, maybe this is not relevant to you and you would prefer to have verses, right?
Yeah, but
it's at least entertaining.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I guess that's what you're saying. Yeah. I mean, if you don't care about Black modern art, that's one thing. But if you care about what Versus is pretty much doing, you should at least see like a mission overlap or something there.
Well, I'll take it one step further. I think that assuming that Swiss ever opens up such an institution, that changes culture. That changes the concept of culture, the definition of culture. We now have concrete examples of like high-end Black culture. Like that has an effect, right? That changes other discussions that we may have about our value as a culture and as a people.
Yep.
And Versus doesn't just
impact that specific lane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus doesn't do that. Right. Versus exposes our culture, but it doesn't preserve our culture. It doesn't necessarily create some kind of new culture. It creates a different interaction.
Yeah.
You know, it creates a different type of engagement. And I think you can only take that so far in certain ways. But I think that, you know, something like what we're talking about in terms of an institution, I think that changes the conversation. Right. That's something like, I don't want to equate it 100% with this, but that has the potential to have like a Harlem Renaissance effect.
Okay.
Where it's like, here is this moment in time where Black people were amazing. And we carry that energy for the next 100 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, an institution has the potential to do this, the exact same thing. We say, here's where Black art lived, high end Black art, fine art, history of Black art, whatever's in it.
Yeah.
We have it now. We have an example. It lives at this level. And, you know, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm ready to see where it goes. If he just goes out and buys more mansions with the shit, then okay, we all got, but, but you know, then he's a Black capitalist like he is.
Yeah. 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 But there's a wider range of possibilities.
I think so. I think we need to kind of wait and see, but I also think we need to be talking about this in that way so that he is made aware that we are aware of that potential.
I think that's good. Yeah. I mean, definitely, definitely. Like,
I don't know that we're going to get, I don't think we're not doing it. So
not doing it. Yeah.
That may be naive on my part, but.
Well, do you think even just people saying why can't we keep things? Do you think that's enough to sort of remind him of that expectation?
No,
no.
I'm pretty sure that like he already processed that a long time ago.
Yeah. But I mean, if people are still having that conversation, doesn't that put a little bit of pressure on him to deliver something as a result of this?
Well, I think he probably feels he's already delivered it where Versus is concerned. He's made 40 plus Black musicians and artists investors.
Yeah.
You know? Stakeholders, I should say, stakeholders.
Right, 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 right.
You know, so, and here's the thing too, right? Like when a famous musician talks about community, we should not be assuming they mean Black community. Like they're involved in several communities at that point.
Mm.
So we should assume, and I think this generally bears out, that they're talking about the Black music community, right?
Yeah.
And as far as the Black music community is concerned, he has taken care of them. Certainly better than their labels or whoever, right?
Right. Right.
So, like, he looked out for some of them when wasn't nobody talking about them. So, okay.
That's true.
You know, so I think that it depends on where he's drawing the line on community. And people like him who, you know, have a field that they operate in that has, you know, blessed them, that they reinvest in their vision and their resources. Yeah. I think that's when he says community, he's talking about like the music community, the hip hop community, you know, and maybe the Black community somewhere, you know, kind of, you know, overlaps. But like, if you want to talk about like, you know, giving back to the Black community, they already did that. They gave you free ass shows.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, just take it back to the Jay-Z line, right? My presence is charity.
Right. Like,
that's how they process that where we are concerned.
Well, I mean, Tidal wasn't free, right? So
nope.
You can't get too mad.
No. So yeah, man, you know, I can understand people's frustration kind of watching something that they feel invested in, but we need to be clear on what investment means.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like we need to be clear on when you are an investor and when you are the bait.
Yes. No one's worried about your emotional investment.
No, no. You're an additive to a deal yet to come. And so to me, right, like, and you know, we need to be changing the question a little bit. Like when we go to Black owned businesses, whatever the Black owned business is, you know, we need to change that conversation from, is this business Black owned, to how long do you expect this business to stay Black owned?
Right.
Are you in this business to own a business, or are you in this business to eventually do something else?
That's a very good point. That's an important thing to differentiate.
Right. Because when Prince signed on to Tidal to the exclusion of all other platforms, he did it because he wanted to help build a Black owned company.
Yeah.
And then that later changed. And so the deal changed.
Yeah.
Right. That's a serious reduction of what happened, but his motivation for signing on the title is exactly that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so I don't know that Prince would have signed on to Tidal 2.0, right? I don't know that Prince would be doing Versus 2.0.
Right.
You know, people who want to actually draw a line, and Prince is on record saying this. I'm not reading into his actions.
Yeah.
He believes that if you, as a Black artist, achieve a certain level of fame, you are obligated to flip that back down to the people.
Yeah.
In a discussion.
Yeah.
In a discussion.
But no, I mean, that has a lot of applications. I think you're right. There's like a lot of different, there's a lot of different applications for that. You know,
it requires more homework than we're used to doing when we see these kinds of deals, but you know.
Yeah. And maybe even a little more forethought before we jump in on something.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
More of a deliberate approach to our participation and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and like when Versus started, like I think we might have been like 4 or 5 verses in, and then all the think pieces came out, and they're all just like the culture and the way that we're building culture in these times and this and that. And I'm like, you're not wrong, but this has a shelf life.
Yeah, what you're saying is true for now. So qualify that shit.
Yeah. And hopefully moving forward, we will, you know. Yeah. I think, you know, Tidal, the sale for Tidal just happened, and the Versus sale just happened. You know, I think the writing's on the wall, right? Like, cats are cashing out. So, you know.
Huh.
Black capitalism is not the answer.
Never was. Also, like, I feel like there's a lot of overlap between this idea of Black capitalism being the answer and this idea of, like, going with this Black individualistic view of history.
Hmm.
Maybe just because, like, you know, we finished another Black History Month, and I just get really tired of this whole idea, all of that to me, the Black capitalists being our success firsts, right? Or like, here was this Black businessman that was independently wealthy in 1875. We should celebrate him. I'm just like, this is all a white lens. Hmm. You know, like Black culture, like, and like the cultures we come from, what you see, in my opinion, what you see is, yes, celebration of individual achievements and accomplishments, but history is a wave, you know, it's not a few people leading the pack. That's a very white view of history. You know, let's go talk about Carnegie. Now let's go talk about Lincoln. I don't like this idea of talking about Black history that way.
Mm.
I feel like you have a bunch of people that were brought here to be anonymous. And I feel like when you do that, you're reinforcing that anonymity, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's better. You're trying to fight it, but I think you end up reinforcing it.
Yeah.
I haven't put it all together, but for somehow this triggers that same kind of thing for me, this Black capitalist talk, and
mm-hmm.
it just kind of all feels like the wrong lens. I don't have it yet, but I'll get it.
Yeah. It's a trip. Like, you know, the oldest Black business in America is here in Columbus, the E.E. Ward Moving Company.
I remember. Yeah.
I mean, and they've been doing that for, I forget how many years, but over a century. You have to assume that any company that has been Black owned over that amount of time in this country is doing so intentionally.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, they're not looking to sell, so to speak. Right?
Right.
And so it makes you wonder, right? Like, that's what, like, a lot of Black people think Black businesses should be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That you, how can you build community if you sell it away the minute it becomes valuable?
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's a really good question, but, and I don't know necessarily how you differentiate between a moving company and Versus, right?
Right.
Except that whoever is behind the scenes has a different agenda. So where Black people's place in that comes into play is something I don't think we've really broken down fully yet, right?
Right.
Like, does the moving company belong to the Black community? You know what I'm saying? Is that why they're doing it? Probably not entirely, right?
No.
So I don't know. It's worth unpacking. And the more information you get to throw into the pile, I don't know that that makes the question easier to answer.
Well, it's an exploitative system. I mean, the whole system is based on exploitation, fundamentally. So jumping in and planting your stake in that and finding success, great. And no matter what Black people put into that, it never belongs to you because it's an exploitative system. So you can't use the marketplace to define community, period. That's not where it lies. And it's not a communal design, right. Especially in this country. So, you know, I don't care how much you spend your money at that moving company or how many donuts you buy from Rish's, you know, like, it ain't fucking yours, you know? And I think that's the frustration when people realize that that's what makes Spikes throw the garbage can through the window. You know what I mean? That's the rage, you know? You thought this was yours. No, it's never going to be yours. It's fucking capitalism.
Yeah.
You know, the capitalism exists to protect ownership. That's what it is for. If you don't own it, it is not fucking yours. It doesn't matter how much money you spend there or how many times you watch or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, so if that's what you're looking for, you need a different model for that. And if you are participating in that, don't be naive.
Right.
You know,
I think that's the word right there. I'm stopping the recording.
Oh, God.